busted lip and my black eye. But I come to you after a long fight all week long over this sermon. I didn't have a problem with the topic. I just didn't want to use the text. And so it's been a battle all week long, and that's the reason that you don't have anything on the back of your bulletin this week, is because I've been arguing and fussing all week long about the text. And it's not that I have a problem with the text. In fact, it's probably one of my favorite texts. It's one that I use quite often in counseling, and I've used the text in several messages. In fact, that's one of the reasons I didn't want to use it. According to my notes, I had used this passage in January, and I just didn't want to use it again this soon. And so I fought all week long, and I lost. And so we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, verse 15. And it's a great passage of Scripture, and again, my fight had nothing to do with not understanding it, or not believing it, or not liking it. It was just that you know, I just didn't want to use it again. I said I know that I just had used the text in January, but and numerous times again I've used this passage, and really focused on one phrase, and perhaps that's the reason that that God has put me in the headlock and said, you're going to do it again and get it right this time, maybe. And so I want to look at this passage this morning. And as we sit here, November the 10th, and just a few days away from Thanksgiving, whether you want to face up to that or not, whether you want to talk about that or not, we just less than 3 weeks from Thanksgiving, and not that much further to Christmas. And I know some have their heads in the sand, and they're pretending Christmas isn't coming. But you can pretend all you want to. You can ignore it. But December the 25th, there's going to be some people show up at your house expecting gifts, and so you might as well get over it and acknowledge that Christmas is coming. But the thing I want to address this morning that God just, again, just beat me up and said the topic wasn't really the problem, the text was the problem. And but I want to talk to you this morning about probably what bothers most of us about the holidays. I want to go ahead and get this out this week and give you a few weeks to work on it. If I waited till the Sunday before Thanksgiving, then a lot of us would we wouldn't have time to deal with this, because this one's pretty tough. And the reality is, most of us, you know, we don't have much problem with Thanksgiving. We kind of look forward to it. There's a lot of good food, and you know, a few days off work for some folks, and you know, Thanksgiving's not all that bad if you didn't have to go around those cranky, pesky relatives. Who was that? Somebody said amen. I heard that. I heard an amen. I saw some head nods, but I heard an amen in that bunch. And so, you know, I saw a lot of people like sitting there going like, can't say nothing. Because it's my in-laws. It's not my real, you know. Reminds me of the story I heard about the man and the woman going down the road who were kind of having a debate. We'll call it a debate. Does that work? They're having a debate. And they put up the stop sign, and they looked over, it was filled full of donkeys over there. And the man looked over and he said, relatives of yours? And she looked and said, yep, by marriage. Most of us, that's kind of the problem we have with Thanksgiving and Christmas. Let's be honest. There are very few families today that have not been affected by divorce, by child custody issues, by disagreements. It's not just family, but it's work and work gatherings. It's bad enough you have to pass them in the hallway at work once in a while, but to actually have to go to the Christmas party with them, and heaven knows I might get to have to sit at the same table with them for an hour. The season kind of brings out the best and the worst in us, I guess. this. And so I want to look at this text today and see if we can't maybe get a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of counsel to deal with. And again, we all know it's true. There's probably not a person in here who sometime in your lifetime, your Christmas, Thanksgiving, family gatherings haven't been affected by someone who said, well, if he's coming, I'm not. You know, if she's going to be there, I won't be. You know, if he brings her, I'm not coming. You know, those kind of things. They're affected by things like, well, yeah, we'd like to do it. We'd like to get together Tuesday, but we can't because you know, the kids are at their daddy's house that day. Yeah, those kind of things. You know, there are all kinds of things that that bring up friction and problems in our families. And you know, between you know, divorces and just you know, can't get along with each other. And so I want to look at this passage this morning and purely from a Christian perspective. Purely from a child of God, what do we do in these circumstances? How do we deal with situations like this, and how do we handle, you know, what does the Bible say? How should I deal with this? And, you know, sometimes maybe we think, well, it would probably just be better if I don't go, and then that way I won't say anything I regret. You know, just be better if I don't go, then that way I won't see him, I won't get mad. Honey, just bring me home a piece of pie. You know, something like that. You know, that sometimes may be the way we decide to deal with it. But I believe the Bible here in Hebrews, I believe the author gives us just a little bit better advice than that. And it really kind of starts really in verse 14 with a really simple commandment that he gives us in verse 14 of chapter 12 when he says, follow peace with all men. Now, you'll notice very carefully there, if you study that in the Greek, the Hebrew, the Chinese, or the Portuguese, it really doesn't matter when he says, follow peace with all men. Do you know what all means in Greek? All. What means in Portuguese? All. You have to be a language scholar. With all men. Not just my blood relatives, but my in-laws too. Not just my blood relatives and my in-laws, but my co-workers. Not just my co-workers, but my neighbors. Not just, the people I like, but, you know, it says follow peace with all men. Now, I pointed this out several weeks ago. I preached a couple of messages on Sunday evening on forgiveness, and it's curious to me how Christians are about this idea of living peacefully and forgiveness. As most Christians, good Southern Baptist, Bible Belt believing Christians, we believe the Bible, you know, from cover to cover, including the maps. I mean, we just take it all. It's God's Word. And, you know, and we'll get right testy if someone denies the Word of God. We'll get ready to fight if somebody, somebody walked up in this pulpit and said, Jesus didn't really walk on the water, or, God didn't really divide the Red Sea. There'd be some of you get up and leave, or some of you get up and come up here. It would get ugly. But when it comes to forgiveness, and even though the Bible tells us to forgive, even though the Bible clearly, and there's not a sane person in this church this morning that would argue at all that the Bible directs us to forgive those who we have a problem with. No one here would do that. But yet, when it comes to actually putting in practice, you look at somebody, and I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had this happen to me sitting in my office and counseling. Martin does a lot of marriage counseling, and I guarantee you he's heard the same thing. You look at someone and say, well, you need to forgive them. Oh, I can't forgive them. Oh, no, you don't know what. There's no way I'm forgiving them. Yeah. Now, if you'd have told them, I want you to go out and rob the liquor, oh, I can't do that. The Lord, no. Who are you? The Bible says not to steal. I can't do that. Yeah. They wouldn't violate that to save their life. Yeah. They wouldn't consider using the Lord's name in vain or committing adultery or, any of those other things. But forgive? Oh, that passage doesn't apply to this situation. Oh, no. You just don't know what he did. I can't forgive him. Yeah. That passage, that applies to Archie. That doesn't apply to me. But yet the Bible tells us very plainly, live peacefully. Follow peace with all men. So how do we do that? I think that's where we move into this verse 15 that I really want to look at this one, the one that that I fought and argued about for a week. But as we look at it this morning, I believe is really the impetus, the guidance we have for dealing with just such a situation. And while even though this morning I'm kind of because of the season heading in to Thanksgiving and Christmas, going to be talking about making a successful season out of Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, your family gatherings, your work gatherings, those kinds of things. This is really a principle or a set of principles, some guidelines that apply all year long. You can't throw, if you get a copy of this CD, you can't throw it in the trash can January the 2nd. This applies all year long, but it specifically applies this time of year when we're going to be thrust into some, more likely thrust into some uncomfortable situations with family and others who have wronged us, who have hurt us, who we have disagreement with. How do we deal with it? I think the first step that the Bible lays out for us here in Hebrews, and one of the things that that I have come to understand, as I said, I've thought this all week long, and as I look at this text, one of the things that I realize is that over the years in teaching and preaching this text, I have focused on the middle of the verse and kind of overlooked what it says at the beginning and the end, and the beginning and the end what makes the middle work. And so maybe I'll get it right this time is what God is trying to get across, because He begins by telling us that if we're going to deal with these kinds of issues, if we're going to deal with these friction type issues between family members and friends and co-workers, one of the first things that we have to do is a diligent search. Look what he says in verse 15. He says, looking diligently. Now, I don't know how good a job I did when I preached on this passage before. I don't know if you've read it while I've been talking, but the middle of this verse says this. It says, lest a root of bitterness spring up. And so the writer is talking about an issue that could be just under the surface that erupts, that just kind of springs up out of seemingly nowhere. Now, I would just ask you this morning, has anything like that ever happened to you? Let's say you're, let's just kind of, I'm going to make up maybe an example, and just, no basis in fact. All the this story is fictional, all the names have been changed to protect the innocent, all those television disclosures. I am making this up while I stand here, okay? Well, let's just say, for example, Martin walks in, and he walks in the house one evening, and he looks, and there on the table, Zelda has prepared a nice meal of cornbread and pintos and fried taters. Yeah, and Martin walks in. When he walks in, he says, "Oh, we're having cornbread again." And Zelda goes, "Kapoof! What do you mean cornbread again? I've worked all day taking care of this house, and I think you're going to come in." "No, honey, I love cornbread. I'm glad we're having cornbread. That's what I was trying to say." Honey! You ever had something like that happen at your house? Where you say something that seemingly is just nothing. Seemingly is absolutely nothing. You walk through the house and say, "Oh, you're wearing that today? What do you mean? What's wrong with that?" Just boom! Just out of nowhere, it seems like. You said, I saw a shirt like this one time that said, if I said something, it could be taken two ways, and one of them makes you mad, I meant it the other way. But have you ever had that happen where you said, or maybe you were on the giving end. Maybe somebody said something to you and just, voof, and you don't even know where it came from. You're standing back kind of looking at yourself exploding going, "What is wrong with me? Why am I acting like this? Where did that come from?" Well, let me point out to you what the author of Hebrews says. The author of Hebrews says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, and then I've got it grayed out for the time being, lest a root of bitterness spring up. You ever had that happen? Well, it seems like out of nowhere that root of bitterness just kind of came through from nowhere. You can't even believe it's happening. Or somebody jumps out, crawls all over you, and you're like, what I say? What I do? Let me tell you what I think the author of Hebrews is pointing to, that quite often is the problem, is that we have taken, and, let's be honest here, ladies, let me help you. We don't get it. Okay? Can I help you? Okay, let me give you some marital advice. we don't get it. We don't take hints. We're not even real good when you hit us between the eyes with a frying pan. But we don't take hints at all. If you got an amen. If you want us to know, tell us. And then you may not get it. But here's what happens. You know, the reason Zelda exploded when Martin came in and said, "We're having cornbread again," is because 25 years ago, when she was 4, offering's going up. 25 years ago when she was 4, or 3, 3? 2. You hadn't even born 25 years ago, were you? 25 years ago when she was a little girl, her mama was, and I'm making this up, please understand. Her mama was making supper, and, you know, somebody came in and fussed about supper, and it hurt Zelda's feelings that somebody was fussing at her mother. But she didn't say anything, and she didn't do anything. She just kind of tucked that away. Somewhere down the road, Zelda's a teenager now, and she's cooking supper, and she burns it. And one of her brothers or sisters or somebody laughs at her. Said, "This ain't fit to eat, Ellie Mae." And she doesn't say anything. She just tucks it back. A little bit later in life, her and Martin's married, and she cooks supper, and Martin puts a spoonful in his mouth and what is this mess? She doesn't say anything. She doesn't say anything. She just tucks it back. Somewhere else down the road, Zelda's cooking and the smoke alarm goes off. And everybody laughs and picks on her about setting off the smoke alarm. She doesn't say anything, but she tucks it back. And then finally Martin walks in on this blessed day and says, "Oh, we're having that again?" And it wasn't that we were having cornbread again. It was that a few years ago the smoke alarm went off, and a few years ago people laughed at her because it was burned, and a few years ago somebody made fun of this, and this wasn't good. And you know what happened? Because Martin said, "Oh, we're having this again," he gets all of that. Every bit of it. That's why the author of Hebrews tells us as believers to look diligently. Make sure there's nothing in your life. Deal with those issues. Look at your life and find those things that trouble you. Find those things. Know yourself. Know those areas and deal with those. I've shared with you before one of the couples that I think are probably two of the best marriage counselors in this area tell the story about how when they first got married he had been raised not to argue, that you just got up and you walked away. One evening they're sitting at the dinner table not long after marriage, and something comes up, and he gets up and he just walks out on the back porch. He's just not going to argue. Well, when he does, she flips. Well, come to find out, what had happened was, when she was a little girl, her mom and daddy had got in an argument. When he got up and he walked out, he didn't stop at the back porch. He kept walking and never came back. And so now when her husband gets up and walks out the back door, all she sees is her daddy walking out, and boom! And he catches it. I've heard of ladies who have, who're standing at the kitchen sink or maybe at the stove, and their husband comes up, walks up behind them, and just walks up behind them, puts his arm around, looks over the shoulder to see what they're doing, and when they do, the lady just, he gets clubbed in the nose, she goes to screaming. Come to find out, somewhere in that lady's past, she's been walking down the road, she's been assaulted, somebody's come out and grabbed her from behind, and when he walks up and he puts his arm around, the first thing she thinks of, she flashes back to that moment. Diligently search and find out if there's things in your life need to be dealt with. Because those bitter roots have a way of popping out when you least expect them. They have a way of coming back and haunting us. Coming back and ruining relationships. Coming back and destroying workplaces, destroying families. There will be family reunions this Thanksgiving and Christmas that are ruined, not because of anything that happened at Thanksgiving 2013, but because of something that happened at Easter 1933. And it's just been festering under the surface. Diligently search. Look diligently, he says. Because with that diligent search, we discover there's a dangerous situation just under the surface, just waiting for somebody to walk by and kick the dirt off. He says, I like that word when he says, lest the root of bitterness spring up, just pop up out of nowhere. You ever had that happen in your relationships? You're cruising along, you think everything's fine, everything's hunky-dory, everything's lovely, and the next thing you know, you're standing going, yeah, you're ducking to China. Yeah, you don't know what's happened, just out of nowhere. Yeah, you're standing there and you're thinking everything's going good, everything's going smooth, and maybe, you know, sometimes you're the one ducking to China, sometimes you're the one throwing to China. But just out of nowhere. You need to look diligently and find out, is there something under the surface in our past? Something going all the way back to childhood? I will guarantee you that that there are things in every one of our lives. In every one of our lives, every one of us have certain things in childhood. Maybe a nickname. Maybe, you know, somebody could say something, or, you know, if the right thing came up, that even going all the way back to childhood would make us angry, make us cry, upset us. You know, I tell people this all the time. Y'all gonna laugh, but I say this seriously. I really am concerned that one day I'm gonna get a call from one of those talk shows, on TV that says, you know, we need you to come on here. So and so wants to confront you, cause of a nickname you gave them when you were in elementary school. You know, because I've hung some nicknames on folks. I'm going to tell you, you know, I ain't going to, you know, I'll guarantee you, you know, there's probably some people, you know, later on in their life that paid for the nickname I gave them. You know, listen, all the way back to childhood, that thing spring up. Why is this so important? Not only is it diligent search in a dangerous situation, but look at this last statement. And this is the part that in all the times I've taught, I don't think I've ever really dealt with this last statement. And this is what is critical for the believer. Most of you here this morning are Christians. Most of you here this morning say, I am a child of God. Here is what is so critical. Here is why this message is so important for you and I today. Here is why I believe God brought me kicking and screaming back to this text, is for this one line where He says at the end of this verse, He says, and thereby many be defiled. Look diligently in your life to make sure that there is not a bitter root under the surface, that if it springs up, many are not defiled. Listen to me, believer, child of God, Christian, saved person, deal with those issues so that they don't get everybody else dirty. See, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I know the answer. This year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, New Year's, you're going to be at Christmas parties with family and friends and coworkers. And in some cases, you're going to be the only Christian there, if not vastly in the minority, even in your own family. And the last thing I think most of us would say, especially when it comes in regards to family, is I sure would hate to be gathered in a gathering of my family, my loved ones, those closest to me, and have that bitter root spring up and defile many. I sure would hate for a Christmas gathering or a Thanksgiving gathering and that bitter root in my life popping up. And that screaming match with, you know, this person, or that I'm not going because they're there situation, or, you know, some of that kind of mess to show up. And that non-Christian cousin or sister look and say, I just don't think I want anything to do with Christianity if that's what it looks like. I'm going to amen that time. Matter of fact, you could hear a pin hit the carpet in here. Because the author of Hebrews says, look diligently inside so it doesn't mess up a lot on the outside. You say, I don't know if I can do that. How do I do that? Can I take just a minute and I don't mean to make light of your circumstance. I don't mean... But look with me real quick at a passage. I want you to see this one. I don't have it on the screen. You're actually going to have to use your Bible. Look in the book of Romans. I want you to see something Paul says there. And maybe it would be good for you to print this off on a little card, write it in the palm of your hand. Especially this time of year. Because this time of year, you're going to go out and you're going to go Christmas shopping and somebody's going to grab the last Tickle Me Elmo and you're going to want to cut them. You know. Somebody's gonna have 13 items in the 12 and only item, 12 and below item line. You know, you're gonna get up there to the register, and after you've stood in line, Sherry's gonna be standing there running the register, and just as you get up there, she's gonna put, sorry, we closed. You know, that kind of stuff. Sherry's saying, yeah, she's gonna do it. You know, those kind of things are gonna happen in the next 6 weeks. Guarantee it. Somebody's going to run a stop sign, stop light. You've been sitting there waiting on that little old lady to take 37 minutes to back out of that parking place, and she's finally going back out, and some knucklehead will shoot in there in front of you. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I don't know which one or how many of them, but that kind of junk's going to happen. You're going to be late. The dish you're supposed to be taking, you're going to burn. You know, you're going to get to the store and they're going to be out of the ingredients you need. And, you know, Junior's going to be on aisle 7 going, I don't know where it is. You're going to have to deal with that kind of stuff. It's happening. You're going to send your husband to the store with a grocery list, which there's your mistake. You know, right off, it's your fault. You should have never done that. This is way too important to send Jason to the grocery store. You know, either one of them. Way too important, you know. You know, send Jason to the grocery store to get stuff when you're going to his family side. You know, then if he messes up, who cares? You know, listen, that kind of junk's going. What do you do? Romans chapter 8. Paul tells us something here that we need to kind of get it in perspective. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Paul says, for I reckon, Paul's a good southern boy in case y'all was wondering, Matthew. For I reckon, y'all, that the sufferings of this present time. Now let me stop right there and point out to you. Paul does not say that there are no sufferings. In fact, he says the opposite. He says that in this present time, there are sufferings. But they're not worthy to be compared to the glory with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul says the sufferings of this world are nothing. They are nothing compared to what God has in store. I want to share with you a couple things that I've noticed about what I feel is part of the issue, part of the problem with these. Part of the reason I think this passage is important is because I think we've planted bitter roots. I think we put some of them there our own self because we like them. Here's, I think, part of the problem. Paul doesn't deny that there are sufferings. And I'm not trying to minimize your suffering. I'm not trying to say that he didn't hurt you, she didn't say bad things about you, that it didn't. I'm not trying to make light of it because I don't know what happened. What I'm suggesting to you, based on the authority of the Word of God, when he says, deal with bitter roots, when he says in Romans that the sufferings don't compare to the good things that God has in store for us, I'm not telling you I'm making light of it. I'm not telling you that it doesn't matter to me. I'm telling you as a grown-up, as a believer, as a child of God, you make little of it. Get over it. Grow up. Some folks, the most spiritual thing they could do is not read their Bible through this year, but it is grow up. Grow up. Paul says, listen, the things we go through are nothing. Here's what's happened to us, in my humble opinion. Everything is a crisis. Everything is a disaster. Call the lawyer. I'm going to sue. You untied my shoe. I'm going to sue you for pain and suffering. You called me a bad name. I'm not coming back to the family reunion forever. Everything is a disaster. Everything is a crisis. Everything is a lawsuit. We have, you know, and part of that's the news, part of that's television, part of that's, all these talk shows, part of it's social media. You know, everybody and their brother gets on Facebook and says, you won't believe what happened to me today, so-and-so did this. And it's like, well, so-and-so did this to me, blah, 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 blah. And before long, the whole string is this long, and it's the worst pity party ever to strike the world. Move on. Paul says the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared to the good things God has for us. Oh, but it's a disaster. It's horrible. No, 10,000 people dying in the Philippines as a result of a typhoon. That, my friends, is a disaster. You getting your little feelings hurt is not a disaster. Yeah. Listen, you know, people wondering, you know, where they're going to live, people living under bridges, people here in our area wondering about their relatives back in the Philippines, a tidal wave wiping out a nuclear station and radiating half of Japan. That, my friends, is a disaster. Somebody saying you ugly is not a disaster. In many cases, it's the truth. Get over it. It's just reality. You know, somebody tells me I'm fat, I look at them and say, I can go on a diet and get skinny, you'll be ugly forever. Grow up! It's not a disaster. The Bible tells us over and over and over to forgive. Deal with the bitter roots in your life. Because It could spring up and cause problems in your life. But worse, it could spring up and cause problems for those you love. Is that really what we want? One more verse from Paul and I'm going to close. Paul says in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says this. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know what Paul is saying is, I'm not there yet. I hadn't got it all figured out. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I'm letting the past go. I'm letting the past go. Can I be honest with you this morning? Some of you are letting dead people ruin your life. People who are dead and in the grave are reaching up out of the ground with their bony fingers and you're hanging on to the past and they're tormenting you. Move on. Move on. Deal with the bitter root. Deal with it. I'm not making light of it. I know it hurt. I'm saying, move on. You make light of it. Forgive them. Doesn't change what happened. It doesn't change the pain. But are you going to allow that to affect your life for the rest of your life? Some of you this morning, because of what happened to you when you were a child or a teenager, it is affecting the way you raise your children. It is affecting your marriage. And you are allowing somebody who is dead and gone, someone who is way out of your life, who you haven't seen in 20, 25, 30 years, to impact your marriage. I don't know about you, but I don't want nobody to have that kind of power over me. Deal with the bitter root. Deal with it, or it will spill out and many can be defiled. I want to ask you to bow your head this morning. I'm telling you, God has just, He's beat me to this message this morning. He's beat me to this passage of Scripture. And I'm almost, no, I am ashamed to admit that. But I know this morning that God has a reason. He has a purpose. Somebody or several here this morning need to deal with those bitter roots. You need to search diligently. You know they're affecting others right now. They're affecting your marriage. They're affecting your relationship with your children, your grandchildren, your co-workers. Some of you already made up your mind. You're not going to Christmas gathering. You're not going to Thanksgiving with the family because of something that happened 15 years ago. Christians need to set it aside. Deal with it. Deal with it. You're here today and you're not a Christian. You're not a child of God. You've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. Then today is the day you need to come. And the first step in dealing with those bitter roots is to know Jesus Christ. The first thing in dealing with bitter roots is to know the vine, know the branch, know the tree, to know Jesus Christ. You're here today and you need to come and ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Whatever He leads you to do, will you come?